Can I just say that admission, like the thing that makes dudes cry, cartoon robots, like spot on.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
And I'm the member of Fight Beetle who just downed 12 ounces of Red Bull.
And welcome to Leaky Studios Podcast, Roundtable, number 11, Studying for Games.
Didn't have co-op, it's got pretty good handoff, because you just die if you fuck up in that game.
Okay, but first we gotta talk about this.
Okay.
Because this is an issue of major contention.
Yeah, this is a thing that's come up between me and Nick several times in the past, because we have wildly varying, I wouldn't even say opinions, but just like...
Approaches?
No, like...
It's definitely like a mindset thing, what you're trying to get out of it, where you find enjoyment.
Yeah,
it's like...
Motivation, maybe?
Okay, so the point is we're talking about the idea of, like, studying a game?
Yeah, the idea of, like, when you sit down to a video game, like, you have to know something about it that's not... Wait, what am I saying?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Well, no, because that's the thing, because you take the side of it of, like... Because, like, you, when I told you I got Alpha Protocol, you started, like, looking at stuff about that game, right? But,
yeah.
Like, you'll go to, like, you'll go for a game, you'll go to, like, the
no,
wiki
I think I just,
and
I think
at...
I just heard that it had a charging shotgun at one point.
Okay.
And that was the thing I knew about it.
But like, when you approach a new game, you can, like, check out the wiki, you can do things, learn about how things work, see what there is to try out,
yeah.
All of that. Whereas I approach it, like, as fucking cold and void of pre-knowledge as possible.
Well, I mean, it depends on the thing. Like, I started playing Penumbra recently,
mm-hmm.
and, like, that, and, like, Amnesia, and, like, games like that, which sort of thrive on their atmosphere and you not knowing things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know enough to know that those games work because I don't know anything about them, so I don't look up shit like that.
Mm.
But
again, you...
But, like, I don't know, Unreal 3, or UT3... came out, and I was like, well, what are the guns and what are the vehicles? And I looked up the guns and I looked up the vehicles, and I was like, oh, so the minigun fires, like, shards now, and there's walkers.
Yeah, which was weird.
Eh.
I never even saw a walker when I played that, but that's because it wasn't fun enough for me to get up to that part.
Those walker things seem really cool, though.
I don't know,
whatever.
Okay. Well, I don't know, something like Amnesia, I feel like that's a weird thing, because it's hard to look up atmosphere.
Yeah, it's like there's scary monsters in this game.
And at the same time, also, you know, thinking about like spoiler 3, like anything with a story go through, like you know, people would be pissed. I'm thinking like BioShock.
Yeah,
because like I didn't have any spoilers for that, because like I don't know, I have this ability that way, like if I hear something about a game before I play it,
you just forget it.
Yeah, like
yeah,
I'm just
I,
like
I do the
I,
same
I have
thing.
No connection to that anyway, so it can't be a spoiler
like,
for me.
Like I knew pretty much how Persona 3 ended. I was about halfway through the game when I learned that, and I was like, "Oh, is that how it's going to go down?" Okay.
Yeah.
And I just kept playing that game.
But like that's not even what we're talking about, cuz if you don't want to look up stories, that makes sense, because the narrative experience, same
yeah.
reason you
As
look
a
at
side
a book.
Note, that Bogun Bruce guy?
Yeah.
Like...
Man, the way that video opened was pretty great.
Yeah.
Like, just like, oh.
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 Oh. But, like, his videos have, like, maybe 100 views each, maybe, like, one or two comments, and, like, for his first video, the one comment is, "Oh my god, spoilers!" And I'm like, how can you spoil Monster Hunter? There are monsters in this game. You hunt them.
Yeah.
That's the game.
Well, no, because, and that's sort of the thing is, I could say, like, because for me, it's not just about story, it's not about atmosphere or anything like that. It's like, I don't want the very mechanics of the game to be spoiled. Because, like, to go in and to see, if I'm going around hunting monsters, like... To know that there is a bigger monster, like you know, like it's maybe like it's the Star Wars line, like there's always a bigger fish, but, you know, like...
Star Wars?
It was a scene in Phantom Menace where they're getting chased, and they're getting chased by a big fish.
In what?
Phantom Menace, Episode 1. And they're underwater, they're getting chased by a fish, and then a bigger fish comes and eats that fish, and he's just like, there's always a bigger fish. But, like, that's the thing, like, it's...
Oh, waka waka.
I'm a Jedi, what are you gonna do? You're gonna do this.
Oh, welcome to the Star Wars movie. Amisa something something. Check out this submarine.
I want to see the like, no Jar Jar cut. Like, somebody did that. Like,
yeah?
Like, they went through and they took Phantom Menace and they just cut Jar Jar out of it. And I don't know if they, like, read... I want to know how they did that. Like, if it was, like...
Wasn't there, like, one of the recent remasterings of the old trilogy? Like, they cut in Gungan somewhere?
I think so, yeah. That's probably... that's something that would be done.
And that crate dragon scream, yeah. Which is always retarded. I already discussed that.
but knowing what's there, like weapons and monsters, mm-hmm. if we're playing Monster Hunter and I'm like having trouble with this one, or even if I'm just fighting this guy and if the quest I'm on is like, you know, hunt five of these guys, all I know about is five of those guys. And then like when they tell me, okay, now there's a big one, then I get to think of like, oh shit, there's a big one. But, you know, maybe that's just like another monster to fight, but like another monster, another couple of things in like learning that, like just watch sitting there watching, like just figuring out like which head shake means he's going to do the death roll on the Royal Uhdroth.
Mm-hmm.
Like being able to like pick up on those things and do it, like that is very fun to me, as opposed to going to the wiki saying like there's going to be five of these, when you get three missions in there's going to be a big one, and then when you fight the big one here's sort of how he responds, here's where the openings are, here's all of that, like and to build upon that, there's also the idea of like, well, the reason I looked up to beat him is because all I want is the weapon further up. Mm-hmm. Like, I also like when, you know, when I don't look at that and I upgrade a weapon and I go so far and I'm like, okay, now I could go to one of these. One of these is really cool. I never even would have thought of that.
Yeah, I think this is... I think we actually kind of see eye to eye on this point. I have done a lot of research for Monster Hunter and stuff, but mostly it's just like, okay, what specifically do I have to do to get this one carve from this guy? Because this is bullshit. I just want to upgrade my sword.
Mm.
I don't watch videos to, like, I don't know, learn their attack patterns and stuff. Like, I just do that by hunting them.
Yeah.
The way I was thinking about this problem, well, not problem, this idea was in terms of complexity and intuitiveness.
Okay.
Like, for example, Pac-Man is a low-complexity, low-intuitiveness game.
Okay.
Because, like, you have very few things that you can do. You can change directions, you eat pellets, you can get killed by ghosts, you can eat power pellets, and then you can kill the ghosts. And that's not very intuitive, all things considered. Like, if you sat someone down, it was just like... You'd never played a video game before. It was mm-hmm. just like, okay, this is Pac-Man. Beat it. And they're just like, okay, well, I can go waka, 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 waka. Oh, I got killed by a ghost. Okay, ghosts are bad. Like, mm-hmm. would they know how to react to a power pellet?
Yeah, like...
Maybe they might... Like, they would have to discover that. So, like...
Well, I mean, also, like... Like, you know...
Let me keep going, though. Okay, that was just, like, sure, an example. Yeah. So then, like... I think Monster Hunter is a high-complexity, high-intuitiveness game.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about the sort of logic in the game, it's like, okay, I need to keep my weapon sharp if I want to damage the monsters. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's cold out, my guy is losing stamina, I'll drink a hot drink. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a monster is tired, it will get stuck in a trap for longer. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like...
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Okay.
Okay.
But then, like, a game like StarCraft is, like, high complexity, low intuitiveness. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, I lost this game. Well, why did I lose this game? I guess I didn't just fight well enough. And then, like, you might have someone look it over, and it's like, oh, no, see, you only had 2 in gas from the start, so then your stim was late, and then that first push was too late, and it was too weak. You got beaten off. Then you didn't have map control to deny expansions, and once you got that critical mass of Mutalisks up, then it was just game over. And it was like, oh, of course that's what happened. Yeah.
Also, what does that mean? Because,
how do you feel about that sort of distinction?
I like inscrutable games.
Okay.
Again, for the same reason.
For the reason of working through it in the confines of the game.
Yes.
Okay.
Because, this goes back to sort of why I don't like StarCraft and RTSs, is because the way that they're shaped is they're, like, very small experiences, and it's, like, just, like, you go, and if you don't do it just right, you lose.
Unless, you know, you're fighting someone who's equally bad, which is a problem with learning that game, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of, like, the skill equal, and there's also now, like, knowledge equal, but I want to get to that later.
Okay.
Just the idea of, like, it's like I want to sit down and figure this out, but, okay. Like, the way to play, if that is multiplayer, like, unless you're matched with somebody of equal skill who is also fighting to figure it out, then it's just like, well, either know it already and then figure out the finickiness of the game. And, like, you know, very, like, when do I push? What do I do here? That guy just said, you know, HLGF. What does that mean? Is that a typo or is that some phrase I'm not familiar with?
Why'd that guy say G period G? What does that mean?
And it's like, good God, you must think I suck or something, or he's great, or wait.
No, you just type GG, there's no periods.
Yeah. That's almost like an actual thing. But less than that, it's more of this, like, that's the thing, like, the idea of that game is, like, it seems to me that, like, the part of that game where, like, when you get into, like, high competitive, the reason why it's interesting is because there's all these things that you do, and there's some strategies about it, and then it's sort of like that like end strategy. But if you don't already have like this basic flow of like, all right, now I need to work on, you know, building depots, or I need to do this, or I need to get this going while this is happening, so then they'll sync up later. Like if you don't have that sort of lower level ability, the game is not friendly to you. And then the only way you can go to it is to go out and be like, okay, let me just start studying, and then once I have a I need a list of what do I do here, and that's
okay.
That's not really like playing the game. That's, yeah. Again, it's this idea of you're doing homework for your game. It's like there's information given to you. You need to take that and like begin to play around with it. But it to me at least, it is not as fun as, you know, making your own notes and crossing stuff out and doing stuff like playing Myst.
Mm-hmm.
Was really super fun because that game is like you couldn't have like a wiki for Myst because that would be the novelization of Myst or something.
Well, I mean, it would just be like, okay, pick up that rock. You need to use that rock for that puzzle. It would just boil it down to just like keys.
Yeah. Now, sort of to go on the other side, like, you know, this won't always work. Like, I want to say right ahead, like Castlevania 2. Like, I don't know anybody who would ever think crouch in front of the wall holding a crystal at night or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even in maybe some of the, like, there are some things like that still in games, maybe not quite as bad. Maybe the game will give you more to it. But even something like, you know, Symphony of the Night, like if you didn't get a drop for goggles, or you didn't get some sort of subtle clue in a poorly translated dialogue somewhere, like, you could beat that game and not even know that there was a rest. And
that game is super short if you don't.
Yeah, it is.
Do that way too.
When I beat it like that, I thought it was like an okay length. I thought it was a little short, not like super short though.
I thought it was super super short.
Okay, but I also had more fun with the rest of the game, just going around beating stuff up, getting new items, figuring out what's going on.
I just couldn't figure out where to get the holy goggles, so I stopped playing it.
Oh, I just,
that's a weird case that I didn't want to look it up, I guess.
Yeah.
So I. The distinction in your case is that you're not averse to learning within the system of the game, but you don't want to have to go outside of the game to further your knowledge of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially, and, you know, I think this is part of why I've strayed away from competitive games in a while. Like, like, I don't really play StarCraft. I don't even play, like, UT and Quake stuff anymore. Because, like, like what I do like, and I think this is one of those cases of I like what I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
It's because like I've noticed for a while that like if we go to like GameStop and here's a shitty $5 game, let's try it or something like that, or when we had SIG and somebody brought in a game that like only they knew, then when it's a case of like we're all sitting there isolated and we're figuring out a game, I can usually figure out like base mechanics of a game pretty good. But then when it gets like when everybody gets that, like I like stop somewhere and then people can get into like a deeper than I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely like that opening, like we're all like the competition is who can figure this out first, because I'm pretty good at that. So I know there's definitely that, and that's kind of the way that I'm approaching it, is I like to figure out the system of the game. And like some like So when you get into, like, when you're not isolated anymore, and it's like, well, everybody's already figured this out at their own pace, then I'm like, well, I don't like this anymore because this is beyond my skill. This is not
now,
where I'm good at playing games.
When you distinguished it, that you're like, avoidant of competitive games, is it, like, a basic game knowledge versus metagame knowledge? Because, like, I don't know, I'm thinking of, like, League of Legends in this case. Like, there's a difference between knowing, like, oh, well, I'm a ranged carry, so I don't want to build AP, because that's kind of a silly thing. I should focus on attack damage and speed and stuff. Like, that's, you know, basic game knowledge. And then there's, like, the metagame knowledge of, like, okay, two in bottom, one mid, solo top, jungler, roamer. That's the metagame sort of thing.
To me, those both sounded meta. Like, one higher than the other, but, like okay, when you're talking about builds in a character, like, you know, It's the way Dave described it. When you're playing the game, when you have a controller in your hand and things manipulate something on screen to go around. Like that's why I've never liked JRPGs, because I never really feel like I'm playing that game if it's all menu-driven.
Yeah.
So, you know, going to say, like, a building, all right, what do I want to go with over here? Like builds are not fun to me, but if, like, in Vindictus, like I like that because it's a brawler, and... Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care too much about the building or what do I want to go with, what skills do I want, to focus on, like, damage or on buffing or anything like that. It's, and this is, you know, more broad, but, like, there's a dropkick skill in Vindictus. I worked hard to make sure I got dropkick skill.
Because
and then I had fun
dropkick.
Using the skill. It wasn't fun to me to build up to the point where I had dropkick.
Okay.
It was fun to me to use dropkick. And that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of games where, like, there's a cool sounding... And that's why I realize I can't trust a lot of people, because, you know, some people will approach it more where you're coming from and say, like, well, you know, there's this cool skill that lets you do this, this, and this. When I actually get to playing, it's just like, oh, no, I press this button, and now the animation is kind of different. If it doesn't, like, feel different, if it doesn't behave different, like in concept it is cool, but, like, it doesn't make the game any funner for me, because I don't care too much about the concepts. I care about the actions. I care about the way it feels, the actual moving things around.
The more visceral, physical aspect of it.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
like, if you could play StarCraft and learn a way for Marauders to explode things and the explosions were bigger.
Yeah. No. The only time I play StarCraft 2, like, the only thing that I can remember working towards as a goal in that game is getting Titans.
Thors,
yes.
Titans or Warhammer.
See, like, it doesn't even matter to me what they are. It's like, this is the biggest thing. To get one of these is my goal. But then, like, I know, like, okay, well, I know I'll be able to get that. And maybe to have one will make me happy for a little while. But I already know that because I didn't do any of the other stuff that people who are good at this game do to get there, or, like, also do in getting there, or do, and then that is a side result. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to get them, but then even then, I'm going to fail with them. It's never a situation in those games where it's like, I'm going to get the one thing which will then let me win. See, and then, like, Monster Hunter is sort of like, you know, like I'm going to get, like, the one gun or, like, the one hammer that does the damage. Like, I really want to get a gun hammer. I want to get one so bad.
A gun hammer is a good hammer.
But at least with the gun hammer, like, it has properties about it. It has the damage it does. It has where, like,
it's fire elemental
kind of stuff. And, like, there's things to know about a hammer, about the way it behaves differently from a lance, from dual blades, from all that stuff. So there's still something, you know, visceral there for me to get around. And, like, I already have, like, a pretty good idea of how hammers work.
Yeah.
Because... But, you know, that's the kind of thing. So, like if getting my Gunhammer is the goal, then that's still okay because there will be something for me to do when I get there.
Yeah, in between, using hammers is still fun.
Yeah. or, like, even the end game, because, more about MMOs. Like, in, let's say, Spyro Knights.
Okay.
Because eventually, like, I did not want to go to the Spyro Knights wiki for a while.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, this game is so simple, like, in playing, that the only, like you can kind of just play through, and it's like, playing is a way to find out what the new stuff is. Why would I go to the wiki to find out what stuff there is?
Yeah.
Because here's what it becomes, is it becomes, okay, well, now I see that I want to get this shield and this sword and this bomb and all of this, and then...
And then you just know the actions that you have to do to get the thing, and it seems like a chore then?
Not even that it seems like a chore, but it's like... Like, you work towards getting these things. It takes away the entire exploration element. Because you're not exploring the space that you move and fight monsters in. You're exploring the items, like, the item space. Like, well, there's these, and then there's ones that do dark, and there's ones over here. But once you know about all that, then that is, like, a realm of things that you can no longer explore because you've seen it all. It was laid bare before you, and that's...
I can sympathize with that.
Yeah. And then Spyro Knights, because like that game is still pretty fun, but like, you know, it's like sort of you go into I still want to know what's at the bottom of the clockworks.
Big shiny thing.
I'm sure. And like, I want to know what it is. But like I want to go there and see. Like, I don't want to go to the wiki and read about what's down there. Like, that is something I will not read about.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the idea of just like, well, I'm going to play and while I'll get there eventually, for on the short term, I'll play and I'll get my money and I'll get my stuff so I can build and I can see what new things I can get. But even like if you can get the set that you wanted, then it's just like, well, now it is a boring grind until I get to that next interesting thing. Like, it takes away all the interesting things in between about learning, about checking out, about all that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you feel that? Like, do you feel like there's like a, when you get what you want, then you have reached a sort of boring end game until something new presents itself?
I mean, that boils it down to kind of a depressing sort of just, you know, carrot psychology game where it's just like, oh, well, I got the thing. I can see that thing over there, but yeah, that'd be too much work in this game. I'll go to another game that has a closer carrot.
Mm.
But honestly, like, I obviously lost interest in that game at some point because I don't know when the last time I played it is. And I've also, you know, looked over all the weapon alchemy trees and stuff and I've been like, okay, got to make this thing. I made a bunch of haze bombs to try to get one with a special element. And then, you know, they switched the recipe tree so that it doesn't make the Ash of Agni anymore. And I'm like, well, dicks, what am I going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
Not play this game, I guess. So I think what you're saying there is accurate, and I never really noticed that.
But what about in Monster Hunter?
Yeah.
Because every time I hear you talk about Monster Hunter, it's either, like, I've gotten to the next monster, which you already knew what it was, or I've gotten, like, the next weapon, which you probably already knew what it was, too. Like am I wrong in assuming that? Because it's always like, well, I just got this thing. But you say it in a way that makes me think, like, yeah, it's the next thing up on the list. So it's kind of cool that I got there, but I know, like, that's still not really what the end goal is. Like... What do you explore in that?
I like hunting monsters.
Okay.
Like, the core gameplay there is interesting enough to me, so even if it's like, I know that, okay, well, I mean, the game, with Third, because there's not a lot of English resources out there, like, it does surprise me sometimes, and I'm like, yes, good.
Mm-hmm.
But, like... I don't know, even if I knew that when I did this one quest, it was just going to be like, oh, you got to gather these things, and then, oh no, a bear showed up! Like, even if I knew that ahead of time, I would still have fun hunting the bear.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that's why I'm way more apt to play that game, because the actual, like, playing, the dodging, the rolling, the attacking, that's all super fun. But, like, when you tell me about the last time you played, you come at it like, yeah, I just got this thing, so I figured I'd go fight this monster. It's never like, and then I was in, like, a super cool attack, and I dodged left. Like, like maybe it's just, like, the way you present it, but it always sounds like you're in it for, like, the getting new stuff to doing it rather than for the actual fighting, because I never hear you really talk about the fights you have.
Because, I mean, the...
Because, I mean, like, one of my favorite things from that game was when the three of us were playing with Jill, who's the third, for those listening. And you two were, like, normal, and I was just like, I'm going to go all bowgun this time. And just sitting there on the side, and you guys were willing on him, and just every once in a while, just things would hit him up in the head above you.
That was, like, fucking great. Because, like, we had never played with a gunner before, so just being there, and I think I was, like, using the lance, Jill probably had her hammer, and we'd just be working away, and we're just like, is Nick, where'd Nick go? And then something would just come in and just slam into it, and be like, oh, there's Nick!
Yeah! See, like, that's so great. Like, okay, now I'm excited. Now I'm playing more. But it's, I don't know, like...
Well, I think it's just harder to communicate those things, because they're so instantaneous, and like the way the game is structured, that you have, like, you know, the constant world of the village, and then you leave that and have your adventure and fight the monsters, and then it's done and you come back, and it's like, well, what do I have to show for that? Oh, well, I got, you know, some Quirrefecco feathers, so now I can make a better hammer from it, and then that's the mark of what you did out there.
Okay. I mean, I think the story itself is great, because that's, you know, why Action Quake was great. That's why Unreal was great, because all of those games are even more isolated than, you know, a Monster Hunter hunt. And, you know,
Action Quake.
Like, Action Quake, just like the duels
that's
we've had.
That's mythological
and doing all that.
In my mind.
Same here, but at the same time, it's that way, because it's that, like, moment to moment action that is great. And, like, maybe we don't always have these great stories, but that's the part that always wants to bring us back. And I wish we had a better way to describe that. But
it's hard to communicate, because it's such a thing that relies on the experience of it.
Yeah.
You know, the first-person experience of
it. Like, that's why I haven't been able to get anybody to come play with me, because I'm like, this game is great, you should play it. Struggling for any other reasons?
And they're like, this looks like ass, and also it's a Quake 2 mod,
yeah.
And it's 2010.
2011.
I'm assuming you told them last year.
No, it was in the spring semester.
Oh, okay. Oh, right, that's how time works.
Also that. Don't lie. I mean, in that case, it just makes me kind of sad that, like, because there is this other more solid thing to talk about in Monster Hunter, it's almost like it tricks you into giving a false view of this game. Because, like, and that sort of thing, like, you know.
Yeah, like, if you mention nothing of the action or the gameplay of that game, it's like, yeah, you go out and, like, you hunt monsters, and then you get loot to make weapons, and then you hunt bigger monsters to get bigger loot to make bigger weapons, and then you do it again, and then you do it again, and you do it again, and then you get up to G rank, and that's, like, that's when the game starts, man. It's like, was I just talking about raiding in World of Warcraft? Maybe.
Yeah, and, like, that's, like, because that system is there, that system is solid, that system is something that can, like, there's existing, like, the word for words, like, lexicon, is that the word I'm thinking of? So, like, there's, like, a lexicon for how to talk about, like, those games where those systems exist. It's like, well, I'll talk about this, because, you know, this is something that's in this game. But that's not really like, at least with Action Quake, because that isn't there, like, you may not have, like, a good way to describe what's going on, but at least then, you know, you're struggling to describe the part of the game that is important, the reason why it's exciting, the reason why you like it. Like, and you start saying things like, intense duels, John Woo, kicking.
Do you remember that?
Flashlight.
Oh, shit, what was it? The map with something 2020?
Rebirth 2020 something.
Rebirth 2020 with all those posters by, like, that furry artist for some reason. And then there's that one balcony with the explosive barrel in it. That one area is great.
Yeah. It's like, it's...
That... Does that help at all? Do you understand Action Quake now? Nope. Well, it's really good, I promise.
And it's actually, it's like super, like, very, very related to this, at least. I've been reading Gone Away World.
Yeah.
And I just got through the part where the bad stuff starts to come back, and it, like, hits them, and they're like, this isn't a place anymore. This is a conception of a place. Of a place that really fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, bullets aren't fired. They materialize like rain at fired velocity. Like, oh, shit.
The torsos of men just kind of sprout out of tanks like some kind of freakish centaur.
Yeah.
Also, there are centaurs.
Yeah, at some point. The guy who eats that dog.
Oh, God, that.
Yeah.
That one was... Ugh.
But, and like that is a book, which, you know, there are points at which action occurs. You know, wartime, there's, like, shooting, there's racing through woods. And but, like, and I just so happened a copy of Halo the Flood, the novel,
yeah,
was sitting out, and I flipped open, and, like, the first thing that I randomly read was just, like, the hot plasma slugs burned through the grunt, and they fell to the ground listless. Halo John Master Chief said, it's another one, and cocked a hammer to reload a new round. And I'm, and, like...
That's not how plasma gun works, Nick.
But, like, it is that, like, that level of...
Yeah.
Like, people who are not good at writing, but understand that the accent is what they like, but, so what you end up with is this very, like, droll, is that a word?
Yes, but not the word droll? You're looking for.
Okay.
Just sort of dry, just like... John Halo shot the aliens, and that's what happens in those games. And you like this, right?
Where it's and like the thing, like it's very hard to break down a sequence of actions into like something that is still, you know, clear on what happened, but at the same time engaging without being just a list of actions. Because like, and then going back to Gone Away World, it's like, you know, whenever there's like a scene of action occurring, he's never focused on, like, the individual actions. It's always, like, create, like, a sense of what's going on, and then maybe give clues to what's going on, less or more, depending on how, you know, able to perceive the world our hero is because of how much stress he's under, stuff like that. It's, like, just being able to, like, describe action. Like, I can't think of any good, like, techniques off the top of my head. It's either, like... describe the sense of action and let the reader fill in the blanks, or be boring about it.
Well, I mean, that's why, you know, car chases work in movies and they don't work in books.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the guy in the lead drove faster, but then Jason Statham drove way faster, and then he caught him.
Yeah. God. I was playing... What the hell was I playing? I was playing Alpha Protocol.
Yeah.
And, like, my highest stat is pistol, followed by melee, followed by health.
Jesus.
So now you know how I play. But, like, I leveled it up, and they were like, okay, we've added a new melee attack. Now when you're sprinting, if you attack, you do, like, a leaping knee strike.
Ooh.
You just connect your
knee. Do a tiger
knee. Your knee to some dude's jaw.
Oh!
And, like...
That's a jump.
Okay, now I know how I will be playing this game for the rest of my time. And, like...
tiger kneeing.
The mission after I got that, it was... And that game's cool. I want to talk about that more later on. But, like, it was a mission where, like, I thought it was just going to be, like, a mission, but I went to talk to this dude, and, like I apparently, like, voluntarily gave up my weapons and went in to just have a talk.
Okay.
And it was...
And then he tried to kill you, and you jawed him with your knee?
No, it didn't get to that. It got to, like, they brought me into the room, and he's there, and it's like, why are you coming to talk to me? You know this is a bad move, right? And the four dialogue options were, like, smarmy, business-like, aggressive, and attack. And so first I went with smarmy, and I was like, you don't know who you're messing with just because I ain't got no gun. And he's like, no, don't do this. And then I was like, all right, fuck it, attack. And I thought I was going to, you know, just like leap over the desk at him. Instead, I like shift a little and then get tased. And then he dicks off and drops me into a room full of bodyguards without
Jesus.
Any of my guns. And I'm like, you motherfuckers don't know that melee is now my highest stat. I just started breaking jaws with knees. I was like, I'm the fucking transporter in here. You blew up my car. Bust in, flip the table, snap y'all necks, take the gun.
I like that bit of deceit there where your attack option results in you just getting tased.
Yeah. But, and it's great because, like if you keep talking, it just stays the bottom option. Like, you can attack at any time you want. But it's also interesting because maybe you can get out of that without a fight scene.
Yeah.
Like, there's a number of points in that game where, like, I've gone on a mission and, like, it was not, like, a standard scene. Like, it drops you off in, like, civvy clothing and you just talk your way through situations.
Yeah.
It's super cool. Like, the game is still super great.
Like, once again, the fucking social boss fights were some of the best parts of Deus Ex.
Yeah. It's...
That's later?
The later episode.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Just checking. Is
what was the last thing we talked about that was on topic?
No. What's the next topic? I mean, talking about people at being at like equal skill levels, like that goes back to the idea of both people struggling to learn to play. Like that is fun. Like when I first introduced Jill to Spyro Knights, and I was better than her, it was great because I like carrying people, not to carry.
Yeah.
And then there's also the idea of like there's a difference between like carry and like guidance.
Yeah.
But
and then she played the shit out of that game,
and now I don't want to play with her anymore. Like I would play with her, but every time she's like, oh, yeah, I want to work to get this sword. And Jill's just like, oh, you want me to just buy you one? And I'm like, no, you're breaking the game for me. Like,
yeah.
I've achieved my own goal. You're offering me to cheat.
We kind of did that to RJ, and I think that might be why he doesn't play that game either.
That could be.
Like, we were just like, oh, dude, RJ, you signed up. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, you want to get down to tier 2? And he's like, what? And I'm like, dude, I bought you a shield. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. But let's put it this way. I was listening to another podcast, John Hodgman. It's actually a pretty great show, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, he presents it as, like, a courtroom.
I like Hodge. I've never gotten around to listening to that, though.
Give it a shot. It's pretty great. There's one where a guy comes in complaining that his dad is obsessed with cows. They are the complainant and the respondent. But there was one that came in where it was like a brother and a sister, or like two roommates or something, and talking about like the guy was like, my roommate is cheating at video games because he uses a strategy guide, and it was about whether a strategy guide is cheating or not, which joke podcast, but that has been brought up before as like a valid argument. So and what is like a wiki kind of looking stuff up than a strategy guide?
Yeah, it's just a community driven strategy guide.
Yeah.
But,
like, I've always sort of... The only time I've ever used a strategy guide, like, legit, is... Like there's two times. One was on Chrono Cross.
Okay.
Which is, a JRPG, a lot of menu stuff, whatever. Like there's no spoilers on it, so I'm not breaking that part. And also, I was already using a Game Shark to max out my level character, so I was never going to get stuck.
Okay.
And that's why I've beaten that game.
Jeez. Okay.
And if like a rented game, back in the days where you had to go to a store and they wanted you to bring it back in like 3 days.
Yeah.
At which point it's just like, well, I want to see as much of this game as I can for my time, so I better be able to get through stuff.
Mine was Final Fantasy Tactics, because there's just so much in that game that is not explained to you. Like, did you know that characters in that game have like the stat progression works that if you level up as one class, there is some of that is a permanent stat gain that will be the same regardless of what class you switch them to. And then some of that stat gain is like a transitive one that will change if you switch them to another class. Did you know that that was a thing?
Not really.
Do you know about how the zodiac signs interact?
I knew that they interacted. I'm not sure how they interact. I'm sure it's like, is like a kind of a rock, paper, scissors thing?
No, because it's not like, oh, well, I'm Taurus and you're Virgo, so I won. It's like, okay, well, if I position these guys so that the Capricorn stands next to the Gemini, then there's like the healing spell will be 12% more efficient.
Huh.
Or some shit like that.
See, and I like that. But that's the thing,
what about faith and brave? Do you have any idea what those do?
Faith is like, I thought it was like, if your faith gets too high, they run off to join a monastery, and if your brave gets too low, they run off because they're chicken shit.
Yes.
Okay.
But also other stuff too.
Okay. But that's sort of like where I draw the line. Like, I like to know that like the zodiac signs are something that exists, and like sort of like how you can interact with it, but then telling me, like, what the configurations are to get the max stats and all of that, like, I don't want to know that. That's something I would like to then learn. Like at least let me know that it exists, but then tell me no more.
But, like, that game never communicates to you the effects that they're having. Like, it doesn't come up and it's like, Zodiac boost. It's just like, whatever.
But you know what? I'm okay with that.
I also never actually needed to use that shit or noticed if it was affecting me positively or negatively over the entire course of that game.
Yeah. But that's also like, I'm okay with that. I'm happy with that. And here's why. This goes to the idea of separate experiences.
Okay.
I want to go back to, I don't know what game it was. I want to say it was like EG, but it may have been something else. Maybe it was like Cave Story, something like.
Okay.
It was like one of those games where like you can like save a character from death or something like that. And I remember we were talking about it and the experience I had. And the experience you had.
This was Cave Story.
Were completely different. But you... we didn't even. No, but it was one of those things where, like, it was the same on both sides because neither of us knew that the other was even an option. And so I don't think it was.
Oh, no, it was EG then.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember when we were talking about Cave Story, you let Curly die.
Yeah. Because I had no idea. Like, I didn't know that there was a rope or something.
Yeah.
I had to burn the rope. But it was in water, so I was just confused.
Yeah.
But like that idea of like, you know, as compared to something like, and you know, I think this maybe is where like the idea of popularity comes in, because, you know, in a game like, I mean, like in a game like Mass Effect,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of different shit can, Mass Effect isn't like a good thing, because a lot of the like results in that game are like very gamey, like you'll get an email at some point,
mm-hmm.
But something where, like, they make it unclear that things are changing.
Mm.
And that's part of my problem with, like, okay, so, like, Deus Ex. Like,
okay.
Like the original Deus Ex. That would be hella good. Because you can approach things from entirely different ways and never, like, conceive of the other way to do it, which is just sitting there. And something like Mass Effect or Dragon Age, like, part of what I don't like about those games is, like, those things where your choices diverge.
They make them very readily apparent.
They're extremely gamey.
They like, just, like, put up signs.
Yeah, it's like, here's your good end, here's your bad end. Or even, you know, I'm thinking the end of Mass Effect 2. Like if I had, like, not known that was a thing and hadn't been caring about it, and I just played it, and, like, and then, like, I went to discuss with somebody later, and it's like, yeah, it was crazy how Shepard dies at the end, right? And then you're just like, what are you talking about? And I'm just like, mind explosion. Like,
were there alternate endings in that game? Like, I haven't played it, but like I thought, like, I knew that Shepard dying was just the thing that happens at the end of that game.
Well, because at the end it's like there's like a sequence of, like there's like the suicide mission,
there's like the human reaper
like you go to like fight a big dude or you get attacked. I don't even remember, it's been a while since I played it, but the point is that, like, you know, there's like 8 separate steps.
Oh jeez.
And like at each point along the way you have to like pick somebody to like lead like a fire squad or something, mm-hmm. and depending on who you pick and whether they're loyal to you or not, there's a chance that they will die, or that choice, if it doesn't lead to them dying, will lead to somebody else dying, or mm-hmm. like leading to somebody in your, and like by the end of that, like there's like certain ways to do it where everybody is alive, certain ways to do it where everybody is dead, including you, the main character.
Yeah.
But like, that's kind of cool because, you know, like, for different people at different points along, like, different people could die. And, like, you know, some people are like, yeah, I let Mirinda die because what is that bitch going to do anyway? Except maybe she's one of the ones who can't die because then she can be in the next game. No, she can die.
I mean,
everybody
Shepard's
can die.
Still in the next game, so whatever.
Yeah. But, like that would have, like, but, like, the way you make somebody loyal is, like, they will offer you one mission if you talk to them enough, and then you go do that mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some of the other stuff is you can kind of just figure it out because they're like, okay, we need somebody to be, like, biotics, or we need somebody to be, you know, like, fire team leader. So you're like, okay, who's the guy who I know who has a lot of gun stats? And you just give it to them. And it's not like they're actually, like, playing a simulated game or something. It's just, like, that's the decision you make. And it's super gamey. And that's kind of super lame, especially because, like, it's so gamey that it was clear and you can...
Yeah.
Like,
it's not even necessary for you to look up the little walkthrough. It's like, well, if you want everyone to survive, do this.
But it was like, it's almost like a selling point that there's this thing that could happen at the end, rather than just putting stuff that could be different and then... Like Fallout, I thought was great, because, mm-hmm. you know, I played Fallout 3 for a shit ton of a long time and never found a dog. I never found Tenpenny Tower. I never did all of this. And, like, there's people who are like... Like, I thought that was a major part of the game. It's like, no, you can play that game and never see it, and that's part of what makes that game great.
I played that game and never fucking pursued the main storyline.
Yeah.
Like, I'm having that same problem in New Vegas. Like, twice now, I've got up to the point where it's like, okay, go to New Vegas, confront the dude that shot you in the head. And I'm like, I just want to find all the things out here, not in there.
No, but I mean, like,
but that's a matter of me, like, stagnating on the game and not just a different means to play through the game.
Yeah. Like, maybe I would have found that stuff, but at a certain point, I was just like, all right, I think I've played enough of this game. I'm going to do that and end it now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there were, like, also things that are like, well, do you turn this on or turn this off? Here's a good or bad, and blah, blah, blah. But, like, that end change isn't what matters. What matters is that I saw something. I saw something and missed something that other people either saw both, didn't see either, saw the reverse. And that's, like, a change which I think is really, really cool, especially if you don't have that sort of exploring what's there to see it. Like that's the thing, like, I knew about the dog before there, and although I didn't realize I never found the dog until I finished the game, like, I felt kind of salty, because of course I want a dog as my best friend.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's like, well, I guess I just missed it, whereas if I hadn't learned about it till afterwards, then maybe I would have actually gone back to play it and find it.
Mm.
What do you think about that, about the asymmetrical...
Well, the point being
unknowing
that...
Unknowing asymmetrical playthroughs.
Yeah, the point being that going out and seeking information outside of the game sort of destroys the possibility for that sort of occurrence.
Yeah. I mean, because really what it comes down to is, and Giant Bomb's talked about it a couple times in recent times, which is funny because they were just talking about it in Dark Souls because people don't know how to create a wiki for that game. Like, there's a wiki up that is mostly empty, and it's just like, help us expand it. And everybody's just like, I'm not sure yet. I would help, but I don't know either. They go back to talking about, like, arcades and specifically Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And
I think I heard that bit where you just have this oral history of, like, yeah, if you stun a guy and then you do this, that's how you do the fatality.
Yeah. But they're, like, talking about fatalities, but, like, they talked about it once. Somebody asked, like, why don't arcades work in America anymore? And they were basically because the internet.
Yeah.
And, like, first of all, you know, people just want to stay home. And if you can get the game for your home, people aren't going to go out.
Yeah.
And if, like, because of, you know, wiki and the internet and all and that freedom of knowledge, there's no longer that, you know, that oral history. There's no, like, hey, kid, come here. You like Street Fighter? Yeah, I like Street Fighter. You want to know how to throw a fireball? Boy, do I! Like,
golly gee.
Like, nobody has to teach anymore because everybody can just go find out.
Man, this is like that article a while back. It's the death of nerd culture, man. Because everyone can become an expert instantly.
Kind of, no?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, this is sort of like a legitimate thing. Like,
yeah.
Like, just, like, working through and sharing and, like, urban legends. Like, because, like, you didn't even hear all the times they've talked about Mortal Kombat Machine urban legends. About,
I bet.
Like, Ermac and, like, Crimson and, like, all of these fake characters who became rumors because they were, like an option on the debug menu that some little kid just saw. He was like, oh my god, is Ermac another character? It's like, no, it's Error Machine. It's a debugging sort of tool, but...
Yeah.
Like, and all these things about, like, you know, stand in front of the tree and do an uppercut, and then the tree will eat your opponent. It's like...
What?
That might even be a real one. I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
Yeah, see, this, like, on one hand, I don't want to, like, if you say, like... You know, that's why, you know, sharing all this information is bad. Like, that sounds kind of a Luddite-y thing. Like, people sharing information, I think, is basically good.
No, yeah, so do I.
But, like, it changes the cultural experience.
Like I don't want to be, like, you know... I'm not, like, you know, like, a mystery magic or whatever kind of dude, but, like, in having all this knowledge, there's a lot of things that just are less... mysterious,
like,
less mystic.
Like in this case, like, a sense of mysticism about, you know, this fictional game world, I think maybe is something that you want to try to foster in some cases.
I mean, I would like to see it in a lot of places. I just like the idea of, like, I mean, for one thing, it helps with conversations because it's like, hey, do you know about this? Do you know anything about this? And going to your local people for knowledge and working through it together. Mm. Rather than just being like, hey, did you know about this? Yes, I read it on the internet. It is this, this, and this. Well, now we have nothing else to talk about. I guess we can't be friends anymore. But just like, I don't know. It's like knowing, like, you know, even going back to sort of like your top tier gear. Like even if like your friend tells you.
Top tier gear?
About like, you know, you said like, I want to get this sword, this shield, okay, and then yeah. I will be done until the next interesting thing. Like, when you don't know that, like, even if you hear from your friend, like, there's this here and there's that there. It's like, oh, cool, I want to get that as well.
Yeah, it's still, like, rumored. It's not like...
Or like, even if you know, like yes, here's what I have. Do you okay. want to see it? But then and you're like, oh, that's cool, but you still don't know if there's anything higher. Like, mm. like that's the thing. Like, it's... And this is very Star Road, actually.
Okay.
This idea of, like... Okay, let's say...
Of not knowing the limits of things?
Yes. In the sense
and, like,
of,
pushing towards them?
Like, let's say we both get the great swords, right?
Okay.
And then, you know, Timmy says, hey, there's a greater sword. Then it's like, oh, God, there's a greater sword. And then we all want to get that. And then, if we don't know Jimmy, who has...
The greatest sword?
Who is some... Or just who is some theoretical person who has a greatest sword,
mm-hmm.
then, like... We are going to sit here, like, just wondering, like, well, there's something more than what we knew about. Is there even more than that? Like, is there a greater and greater and greatest swords? And it's like, but, and here's the thing that kind of breaks it. Here's where, like, the sad part to me is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could be looking and dreaming about something which doesn't exist. I mean, like, it's just being, like... It, like being in the mental realm makes it more valuable, more mythic. The problem is, like, if there is nothing to match that in the physical realm, then you will never get something that great, and that's sort of a downer on games.
Clarify that.
Okay, so, like, it's just because, like, there's, like, I have a sword that's, like, you know, +5.
Okay.
And, you know, and then there's, like, I know there's a sword that's +6, and I'm like, well, what if there's, like, a +7 or +8? And it's like because of the internet, I know, no, it ends with a +6. And I'm like, oh. Or, like, it's you know, it's the like, the George looking at the broken egg going, one day we will run around
and
have
day
fun.
One day you will be a chicken.
Because he does not know that it will never be a real chicken.
It's the difference between striving towards a known end and the striving towards an unknown
Will be
infinite.
Because it's unknown, because it's infinite, like, even if it's just in your mind, because you don't know where it actually ends, that'll keep you going, that'll keep you interesting, always looking for something new, even if you never find it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like that's good and bad in its own way, because it'll keep you interested, and it'll keep you good, and it's like, but at the same time, like, anything you find may not, you know, go. Like you know, you're talking with, you know, again, little Timmy's over there, and he's like, I heard there's a +10 sword. In reality, it only stops at +7.
But that kid's got a dream.
Yeah, but it's like, he will never be able to achieve it, and when he gets that +7 from his +3, he's going to be like, this is pretty good, it's still not as good as what I'm expecting, aha, you guys, you just hang in there. But he doesn't know that he will never get that, which is good and it's bad, because it's still good, because, you know, without that unknowing, without that dream, the +10 would never be conceived of. Like, if everybody just knew that 7's where it ended, people would accept, all right, 7's where it ends. You need that one kid who doesn't know to think, what about 8? What about 10? What about 12?
I hear you can get, like, +13 swords in a game of Tetris.
Oh, Jesus, that would be awesome. We gotta go play Tetris and get one.
We gotta go fucking play some Tetris. We gotta find this out, dude.
But I mean, like, am I being some sort of, like, crazy dreamer? Or am I at least valid in that this is how crazy dreamers behave?
I think The distinction between a known end and an unknown is an important one in this case.
Okay.
But
not even that distinction. Like, do you experience this idea of, like, when you don't know what's out there, you keep looking and keep thinking that there's more? Like that's, like, stay gold, pony boy. This is what they meant when they said it to me, I guess. Like, always dreaming for that bigger sword, for that greater...
Maybe?
Like, because, like, the what is it? The Morpheus knife in mm-hmm. Monster Hunter? That's great. And that's like a cool thing. Like, it is a knife that makes you, you know, sleepy. But like if I didn't know that that's where it stopped, I would think that there's like a double Morpheus knife that stabs them in their dreams as well.
Does it stop at Morpheus knife?
It might, I think. That's as far as I remember, because I don't like to study for games.
I think there might be a high Morpheus knife.
Oh, gosh.
Morpheus knife plus.
Yeah. But even then, like, if they went past the Morpheus knife, maybe it'll go even farther. What about plus plus? But, I mean, like, did you at least have this, that, like, because I think about this, I feel like this stopped around the time of, like,
maybe
the N64. Because at that point, like, Nintendo Power started becoming a thing. They started having websites. They started, like, a lot of things.
You can do that shit online now, Fitty.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, NES games.
I don't
games
know if
super,
I'm, like, a
like,
cynical old man or something. Like,
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to be a cynical old man. I don't want you to tell me where it ends so that way I can keep my dreams. That is the point of my argument of this whole thing. Let me have my dreams. Stop telling me everything.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't.
You just moved my heart.
There's like a fifth level of Ninja Gaiden.
Do you see this?
Yeah.
It's a little tear.
The little one. Very small.
You know, it's like jerking it, but for your eyes.
But I don't know, like, that's what I like, is that, like, unknowing level.
Coming back and connecting it to Star Road, I think I understand, like, way better where you're coming from here.
Yeah.
Because, like, I... And once again, maintaining the separation between, like, competitive and non-competitive games, like, I would not want that sense of unknown in a competitive game.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because, like, I would want all comers to have perfect knowledge. So that they're not competing with their knowledge, but just competing with their skill.
I could see that.
But I get, like, I guess with things that sort of combine that, like Dark Souls, like you've got the whole invader system. Like if someone just shows up and in your world and is like crazy ridiculous and has a weird egg on their head and then a tentacle comes out of it and bites you and that kills you, like that's super weird. And it's also something that a player did to you competitively.
That's
but
going
that's,
to get the thought you
that's
going to
get your head fucked.
I mean, like, I don't know, in a way I would almost like that.
Yeah.
If that was in a competitive sense. Because especially when it's, you know...
But, like... Again, like... I wouldn't say, like, Dark Souls is not a purely competitive game. Like, it's mostly about your personal journey. Like, if I was playing StarCraft and then somebody came out and it's like, yeah, I've got two-headed Mutalisks. Never seen those before, have you? I'd be like, are you fucking cheating? Like, what the fuck is that?
Mm. Well, I mean, like, maybe that is, you know, more of the idea of, again, like, because there is no internet in this world I'm building, I guess. like, we're like, if you take away the idea of known information of, like, here's just how it is, anybody can go look at it, now it becomes not just, you know, all of us sort of racing to get to the end, but now we're all racing towards that, you know, unknown, and we're all working together, and we're all building up this mysticism. Like, games today don't really have that mysticism.
There are very few games that trade in mysticism.
And I mean, like...
I would like there to
those
be more of them.
Five games with the same box art?
Eh?
Where it was like Battlefield 3, Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
And it was just the strips and it made the exact same box.
Also, Jax 3 and Gears of War.
Yeah.
You can cut that box in half, those two boxes in half, and rearrange them and they will fit together.
Jeez. But like, you know, maybe that's sort of one of the effects we're seeing is because now that we know things, people are just like, all right, well, here's what we do. Here's what the game is. And like,
here's what people know and here's what they like and here's what we know that they like.
But because, you know, now that we know where the endpoint is and we stop thinking about it, we don't have people thinking about what could be beyond that and then creating the place where that beyond becomes
real.
Well,
I think we're might be unfairly blending like game players and game developers in that statement.
Yeah. But I mean, developers play other people's games.
Some of them do.
Like really, like, to me at least, ideally, the only people who would know the end point of trees and stuff like that is the developers.
Mm.
and like just know like keep the endpoint a hidden information from the players, like from all players. I think that's
censor the internet.
Like just every skill tree, you don't see what's later on in the skill tree until you get it, and even then, there's always just a line that continues up and fades out, even when there's nothing left up there. Just keep them dreaming. Keep them dreaming.
Kind of like I'm thinking specifically of the house at the bottom of No Credit with the sidewalk that just kind of trails off.
Yeah. Like, I still don't know if there's nothing past that. And, like, I've looked on that map and done the clipping and just being like, oh, I wonder what's around here. Is there hidden rooms over here? And, like, I don't see anything.
Open it in Hammer yet?
But in my mind, it's just like, maybe there's still something there if you jump off just the right way. And this is how these things get started.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
I guess if you, you know, through game playing are able to, people have that instilled in them and then take that feeling and go into development with it.
Yeah.
And try to recreate, you know, that.
I mean, it's simple. It's, you know, the seed for creativity. It's like I saw something, it made me think of something cool, and when I didn't get that, I went and got my own, or made my own. But the thing is, like, when you have, like, wikis and you see, like, oh, here's where it ends, well, then people stop thinking. Like, that's something I hadn't really considered before we were discussing this, but if that's actually the way things are working, that makes me very sad. And, you know, people are trying to make that argument about, like, you know, even beyond games, even in, like, movies,
like,
and TV.
Is Google, like, making everyone stupid because everyone can just have that information without actually having to know information?
Yeah. Or not even just stupid, but just uncreative.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some people might also say being creative is just taking two things and sticking them together that have never been stuck together before.
I will perform an action that has never been seen in history and will never be seen again. And then she runs out in the street and yells domestic violence.
Yeah?
Yep.
That was never seen again?
Apparently not.
Wow. That's crazy. But yeah, like... It's also kind of why the end of cartoon series make me sad.
Yeah?
It's because then you get there and all you have left is the thinking. Like, it's the same kind of thing. Like, I always get this weird feeling when a show ends. And it makes me think, like... And it's... Because, like, it's better when they're not well-written and they don't, like, answer everything that was asked.
They don't make sense at the end.
Yeah. Because then you're just like, what was that all about? Maybe it's this, this, and this.
What about... I mean, you haven't seen the second season of The Big O, have you?
No, I haven't. I have it somewhere. I should watch it.
Okay. That's a good one. I think you would like that very much.
Yeah.
It gets just incredibly weird. Just profoundly weird.
That's good. That's good. I like the sound of that. But yeah, I mean...
there might be a dude who comes back from the dead... but only as a talking voice, and he says that the whole world is a stage, and it's like, oh, yeah, I get it. And it's like, no, you don't understand. And then a stage light falls.
Like in The Truman Show?
Yeah, kind of.
Cool. Truman Show, maybe that's a good comparison here. I don't know. Like, until you walk up and you see that the horizon is just a painted-on wall, everything seems amazing. But then you walk through it, and it's amazing again.
Yeah.
But then they cut to black in the credits roll. I'm running out of things. I'm just going to get, like, weirder.
I'm running
and weirder
out of steam here, too.
But, I mean, like, you get where I'm coming from? Why I don't like to... But
you're trying to foster the mystery, because it's...
I mean,
that is in itself a source of enjoyment.
Like that... Not even that. Like that, I think that is me being, you know, an artist, being a Pisces, being whatever. Like, apparently Pisces are, like, rulers of the dream world.
I don't give a fuck about Zodiacs.
Okay. You read Homestuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's as far as I'm willing to go.
That's good enough. He's actually surprisingly, like, relevant in using Zodiac kind of stuff for the characters.
Was Solix the Pisces?
No, Feferi is the Pisces.
Oh, right.
Solix is the Gemini.
Oh,
the
right.
Twin.
Gemini is the twin. See, isn't Pisces the sign, like, two fishes, though?
It is.
Okay, that
but
always
sometimes
trips
it's also,
me
like,
up.
One fish. Sometimes it's two fishes.
Oh, okay.
apparently, like, the color for Pisces is purple. They are inherently dreamers. Like, that is their main trait. And the part of the body attributed to them is the feet. They also feel more comfortable around bodies of water.
Oh.
Kind of like Cancer, the crab. Which one was Iridian? Iridian, however you pronounce his name. Purple guy.
Sagittarius, maybe?
Maybe. Did you see...
No, because Sagittarius is the goat?
Which would be
no,
Iridia.
Capricorn is the goat.
Yeah, Capricorn is
the goat. Gamzee's the goat.
I don't know about... You sure it's not Iridia with the ram horns?
Oh, shit. No, the goat and the ram different?
Probably not. I'm also not too into the zodiac. I just know about Pisces because that's what I am.
Okay.
Basic points, like, when you don't know the end point, I think it sort of fosters a mysticism, which is a good thing to have. I wish we had that more.
Mm.
In a competitive sense, and that's, like, sort of on like, the end game of it, and then on the new game, like, if, like, the interest, like, I much prefer learning the basic systems of the game, and if the idea is that the interesting part of the game is, like, when you get to the end and it's just about finesse, I'm generally not really into that.
Then why are you so good at Tetris Attack?
Because, like, that's... Like, there's no jump there. Like, it's never, like, learn how to swap blocks and to make these patterns. And then, you know, push your drops around the left side and you gotta expand. There's none of that. It's just, like, there's a linear line of, like... First, we're going to make some little blocks. And then as you get better, you'll just keep adding more blocks to your combos until you're doing big blocks.
Okay.
Like it is like the same progression, same skills, just increasing them. It's not like, you know, here's how you build a marauder. Here's how you go up a tech tree. Here's how you push over here. Like, there's no jump.
Okay.
That's what I'm going with. And, like... Like, this stops being an issue when I just don't play competitive games anymore, but then also it's like, well, now there's a lot of games I'm not playing. Because that would keep me out of LoL. Like LoL versus computers?
Yeah.
I much prefer that.
Yeah.
Because then nobody's yelling at me, why aren't you playing the game we have all accepted is how to play? Because that is not the part of the game that I like to play.
Yeah.
If you don't like the way I'm playing this game, there's more of you than me, I'm going to go.
Judging from how often I play that competitively and how often I play versus bot, I guess I prefer the game versus the bots, too.
Really?
It's kind of fun to just go around with, like, Zillion and just blow up creep waves because you have time bombs that blow up creep waves.
Yeah. And, like, if we did that enough and, like, I did that enough and then, like, learned... Like, I still just don't feel like I understand the basics of that game. Like, mm-hmm. I told you about how I button mash.
Yeah.
And, like,
and as it turns out, I made an inaccurate statement because, like, APM training is important for high-level RTS play, and people button match in RTSs a lot.
Uh-huh.
There's this dude, Kawhi Rice. He does supply depot push-ups. In StarCraft II, you can take your supply depots and you can put them underground to save space. When he, like, as a training technique, when he is not doing something that requires high APM from him,
mm-hmm.
he just maintains high APM by doing push-ups with supply depots. He just works it into his rhythm where it's like,
just
okay,
up, down, up, down.
You know, command center, build. Marines, build. Supply depots, up. Command center, build. Marines, build. Supply debtors, down.
Huh. That's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah. There's a video of him doing it on YouTube, and I want to take that, and I want to put in the music from Initial D.
But that'd be kind of neat. But then again, like, that's like another, like, being able to APM is another skill set on top of tech trees and tactics and all of that. Give me one, and we can learn it really well, and I'll be happy. But
well,
then...
Pac-Man is a non-complex, non-intuitive system. If you learn how to run down alleys, you have learned Pac-Man.
I don't know if I would call it inscrutable, though.
No.
It is highly scrutable.
So you want one completely bonkers thing to have to learn?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, kind of, I'm like, maybe it's like Dark Souls, because it sounds like you pick your class, and they give you some shit, and now learn how to fight things that are big. I mean, and again, like, you know, like, and maybe that's sort of the difference, because, I don't like Modern Warfare because they have distilled that game from like run around, find health pack, find weapons to just line up the crosshairs,
shoot
before they line theirs up on you.
Yeah,
and I'm bad at that. We've been over that part on a different time.
Yeah,
but like give me one good thing that we can just push to the limit. Like Puyo Pop, Puzzle Fighter, competitive puzzle games, pretty much.
Okay. Okay. That puts away the puzzle game for me.
Like, that makes sense now?
Yeah, like, I... Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I guess for me, just give me... just all the bonkers shit. Do you know how much I played Dwarf Fortress? A lot.
Yeah. You played a lot of Dwarf Fortress.
They added in beekeeping. Now I get to learn how bees work.
Okay.
Awesome.
But and so then that's... That's like... Okay, is that... Like, does that feel like a separate system to you? Because, like, that is, like, a new thing to learn.
Yes.
But it also, I think, maybe in Dwarf Fortress, like, there's also, like, stuff you don't need to learn. Like, that is, like, I want to go... Like playing with bombs. Like, I still haven't played with bombs in Spiral Knights because I'm still focusing on getting good with a sword and a gun and a shield. Mm-hmm. Like, that is my one thing. But, like, I don't have a problem with if there's just other stuff to go faff about with.
Yeah, like, that... I mean, that, you know, you are not...
I mean, if anything...
There are two necessities. Well, I mean, three necessities in Dwarf Fortress. Have food. Don't die. Long term, stay happy.
I'd be bad at that.
And so, you know, the beekeeping industry is just another way to produce food and then produce wax to make crafts, to make art, to keep you happy, or to sell, to buy things. You know, it's just all these systems that work together to do, you know, a handful of basic things. Have food, don't get killed, stay happy.
That's cool. Yeah, maybe that's the problem, is like, I would focus on becoming good at those three things before I started faffing about with all the other cool stuff.
Well, I mean, the other cool stuff, like, you need to pick, like one.
Some of them to get to handle those.
Like, if you try to do have food before you figure out do farm, that's gonna be rough.
Yeah. Well, but that thing, like there's like a linear path to those. I would get really good at those before I decided, how about lava mining?
Mine the lava?
Yeah, I'm just going to make some pathways out of lava.
Okay.
See, and, you know, look at
Minecraft. You mean like lava molding?
Sure. That sounds even cooler.
That's a thing that people do. Like, why waste time making stone blocks and then building buildings out of the stone blocks
when
I could just build a stone cast of a building and then pour lava into it?
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and, you know, that's kind of what Minecraft became. You don't have to... Well, for a while, now it is, but there's still the option to not have to worry about having food and not dying.
Yeah.
And now Minecraft is just, here's a bunch of shit to faff about with.
Oh, yeah, like, there are
Minecraft
people...
Minecraft is awesome.
There are people who play Dwarf Fortress that have just modded their dwarves to move, like, at the speed of light, never require food, and kill anything they want with a punch.
Huh.
Because they just want to build shit.
That's cool. That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, I think that they're just kind of distilled everything.
Okay.
Probably done now.
So, if you have strong feelings about the idea of video games that require you to learn or simply ask you to learn...
Well, not that... The
idea of learning within the game and outside the game, of the sense of mystery that a game can create through your lack of knowledge. If you have strong feelings about this stuff...
You're probably me.
You can get in contact with us. We are on Twitter, @EliteKoo.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Facebook and in the iTunes Music Store, the Zune Music Network.
Marketplace, I believe they call it.
Okay. We have our website, which you may be familiar with, at olikustudios.net/podcast.
Yep. You can send us an email, podcast@olikustudios.net. While you're at the website, we got, like, comments and stuff.
Yep.
I did not get a aloof up this week because of travel day, but there should still be a not aloof that went up. And I say that because that's what I call it.
Yeah.
It's just everything that's not aloof.
And
for me.
Caitlin got a comic up this week, right?
I don't know if she's been. She's working on. She actually got.
I thought I saw something from her.
She got asked to do a comic for, like, an art book.
Oh, it might have been that.
Because she had, like, somebody who is her friend had another friend who was going to be in it, but then dropped out. Ooh. So she was like, well, now we need somebody to fill this space. I know you. You do cool art. You want to do, like, a 4-page comic. So she's working on that today, actually.
Exciting.
Yeah. With Takinedere something?
Yeah.
Tank Dare.
That's the thing that I saw her mention.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's something different.
Okay.
But yeah, working on stuff I want to do. Apparently, Fred Wood, a.k.a. Trunks,
yeah,
he does the band cast for his comic Sure to Be Banned. Apparently, at one point they put a call out on Twitter like, hey, we want people to do readings for our intro and outro.
Ooh.
And I sent them one. And I was just like, sure, whatever. And like he didn't tell me, but I was just like 2 episodes ago they actually used mine. Like,
all right.
Their episode 18, they used my intro for it.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool.
I didn't see that. Are they still
doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen for Nick on the Sure to Be Banned cast.
And I want to... I'm going to make more videos soon.
Yeah?
I'm not sure what, but we should do something.
I've been cooking food recently. We could do more food.
I just got a copy of RE4. We could let's play it.
Ooh. Is that a co-op?
No.
Oh.
5 had co-op, but yes, it was split screen, actually. I don't know. We'll take a look at that.
Okay.
Figure out what's going on. Until next week.
Good night, everybody.